This afternoon is going to be devoted to, again, listening to or trying to find out what the people of BC have been saying to us. And Campbell is going to take us through the submissions. And what have the submissions been telling us, Campbell?
Okay, my message is don't feel guilty that you haven't read them all. So can we have the... Thanks. Okay. I'll explain as we go on. Submissions are serious things. Not only do they do the obvious things, they do some that are perhaps not quite so obvious. Well, that was the detail schemes. They also provide stuff about the range of views on electoral systems, particularly from those members who want change. I stressed the last one, as Ken did. Submissions are obviously, if you've got enough energy to write a submission, the chances are that you're going to be more in favour of change than keeping the system as it is. And, as many of you who've looked at the submissions know, that it's an opportunity to make general, usually comments of dissatisfaction about aspects of the governmental process which are not really the concern of the Citizens' Assembly. And the third thing, of course, is it also says comments about the work of the Citizens' Assembly. And by and large, it's overwhelmingly favourable. In fact, the only critical comments, as you'll see, are from those people who want the Citizens' Assembly to do more or to have broader mandates or whatever. A large proportion of them express thanks for the work of the Citizens' Assembly. Now, apart from stressing that... That's what comes of running things too carefully. Okay. Really, what the submissions are intended to do, they're there to provide information for you. You'll need it in the deliberative phase. And as you'll see, I'll make some suggestions about how that process can be speeded. It's also going to be required to make the final report. The final report will have to have a section on the submissions. And for those with a historical cast of mind, the body of submissions itself will be archived and will provide a very interesting picture of the kinds of concerns that the Citizens' Assembly had to deal with. Now, apart from the business about not feeling guilty, I want to stress that this is a very preliminary survey for reasons that will become clear later on. This is just a very quick once-over. It's not intended to give you a detailed guide of what's going on in the submissions. Just to give you an idea about the nature of the process and some general shape in the nature of the submissions. Later in the piece, you should get an index of submissions, a summary of the content of submissions, and a guide to assist you to extract information from the submissions. For that will come in September for the deliberative phase. That's not what I'm about now. But if we're going to survey submissions, what kinds of things are we going to look at? We're going to look at the use of the web for listing, abstracting and searching submissions. And as you'll see, that's not just a descriptive issue. It's not just a procedure, but it has some implications about how the submissions are dealt with. A comment about how they're reviewed and processed. A little bit of descriptive statistics about their number and their format. A little bit about their content. And then a timeline for how to deal with the submissions. And then some questions and suggestions. And you know that you'll be discussing that in the breakout groups. But I can have some feedback on how to cope with them and the information that you may find useful in dealing with them. All right, what about submissions on the web? Now, putting the submissions on the web has many advantages. It provides an orderly listing of all the submissions. Particularly now, for those of you who have noticed there's been a change in the format, You don't have to look at them at five pages at a time and try to remember what page they were on, and the page numbers change as the new submissions come in. If you go down to the bottom right-hand corner and just click All, you can load all 700 submissions, and you can zip up and down them as a matter of choice, as a matter of what you're looking for. But it certainly provides an orderly listing. All submissions have the similar abstracting process and listing, so that when the submissions come in, they're dealt with in the same way. The list of submissions is widely available to the public. And of course, when it's in electronic format, the whole submission can be displayed and downloaded. That's why the little figures are in square brackets, not only to be a hint about the nature of the submissions, but also to give you warning that if you press the button print, how many pages you're likely to get. It also permits long and complex documents to be attached and viewed, ones with pictures or charts or lots of footnotes or references, in a way that would not otherwise be easily, will not be possible. And of course, the submission process itself is open to public scrutiny. And that's important, so people know that their submissions are being taken seriously. Now, these advantages have been okay, they've been there, but the process has not been free from difficulty. It's not been a rose garden entirely. Top of the list is processing the submissions can be time consuming. This is called a calculated understatement. Incorporating typed, illustrated or handwritten submissions is not always straightforward. That's an even bigger understatement. Those without web access may feel disadvantaged. If they're on the web, then obviously if you don't have access to the web, it's much more difficult for you to find them. And the submission component of the Assembly's web page requires submissions to be dealt with in a fixed order, and I'll mention that later. And this is a problem, as there are now, when there is a backlog of submissions. So you could say those that live by the web also perish by the web. They are locked into it for both the advantages and the disadvantages. Now, I'm mentioning this in part because I think it's important for people to have a rough idea about what happens to submissions. You may have to field questions about what happens to them. Yes, I hope I'm keeping up with my fingers, keeping up with my voice. It's clearly not, is it? Okay. All right, processing submissions. Now, the stages it goes through depends on how it comes in. If it's online, that means if you fill in the little box, if you go to the web page and look at make a submission, and then submission form and write in the box, that's an online submission, then they're received and acknowledged automatically. The web page sends an email and says, thank you very much, your submission has been received. And when it's published, you get a little note from me saying, a little email from me saying your submission is now on the web and it's published under the name Fred Nodler or Nodler 123. Email submissions, I have to enter them, and they're acknowledged with a notification when they're published. Because they're not published until I enter them, and I don't know what number they are until after I've entered them. So the only way I can acknowledge their receipt is when they're published. Submissions made as electronic documents are much the same. Someone hands me a floppy with a submission in, it's processed, I enter the details, it gets a number, I then say thanks very much. Submissions on hard copy, that's if they're typed or handwritten, or drawn as one of them is, then those people get a letter right away saying thanks very much for your submission. It will be processed in due course. And when it's listed and abstracted, then they get another letter or an email, if they've got an email address, saying that all is well. Now, the process is working well, but the recent surge in the number of submissions has led to a backlog. Now, the auto-generated numbering for online submissions requires them to be dealt with first. I felt initially a bit guilty about this. If you fill in the box online, then you go to the top of the queue. Someone tried to reassure me that this was okay, because if the submission process requires less effort on my part, then why shouldn't we get a bonus? But whether there's a justification or not, it does mean that if you put it online, I have to deal with it first. Submissions by email and electronic documents are processed next by entering them online, because acknowledgement is dependent on them being processed. And after a mail acknowledgement, submissions in hard copy are processed last, listing online, abstracting, and in some cases, scans. But people who send in hard copy get to reply by mail as soon as that's received. As of the 24th of June, there are about 200 submissions waiting to be processed. Okay, so what about, I'm going to have an interesting July and August. What about the number and format of submissions? Now, from using the search facility on the public website, that is all process submissions, as of the 24th of June, I've got some data for you. Now, as you know, there are 700 published submissions, of which 92% have the content available online. They also include, some of them are only attached documents, but there are 80 attached documents. And when a document comes in, it's published in both Word format and PDF, so anyone can read it if they have a computer. There are 14 online submissions, and 3 attached documents have been scanned in, and 4 submissions that are not online, but listed and abstracted. Okay, so that gives you an idea of for the disposition of the 700. If I were to do the following 200, I would think about between 50 and 80 of the 200 waiting to be done are mail ones, so that they will take a bit of time to fix. Now, of the process submissions of the 24th of June, 67% of them are one page or less, and the shortest one is 3 words. And there is no prize for getting what those 3 words are. 129, or 18%, are 2 pages. And 95% of the submissions are 5 pages or shorter. So in terms of the submissions themselves, they're not particularly lengthy. I should say, just before I left, I was handed a 58-page submission, but that has not been processed. 68 submissions, or about 10%, have attached documents. And the ones with attached documents tend to be the ones with more detail and more attempts to apply it to BC. That's not always the case. There are several attached submissions about the meaning of life. But that gives you an idea that about 10% are fairly substantial submissions. Several submissions are duplicates. So one of them, I noticed this one because it had a spelling error, but it was the same one that came from 5 different addresses around the province. But it's identical. And I would think there are 2 or 3 doubles, often from the same address. So someone with a large family might choose to send in quite a few. And the record for sending in separate submissions is 11. Actually, this person is actually there. Most of those submissions are very helpful. They tend to be attached documents and references. But I had a word with him and suggested that wouldn't it be nice if we had one submission with his suggestion about what he would like. And he has done that. Now, this is an attempt to give you a picture of the flow of submissions. So, November to January, there were 41. February, there were 18. March, there were 30. April, there were 115. May, there were 270. That's the backlog. And up to the 20th of June, there were 170 plus a backlog. So I think it's a large part, it's an effect of the hearings. So the hearing, not only the individual people making presentations want to send in their presentations to be treated as submissions, but also the excitement, dare I say, of the hearings has prompted people to, many people to put in their views. Now the content, this is where it gets slightly, these figures are, although they go to one decimal point, they're really approximate because they're categories that I did. You notice on the side you can search things by categories, and I thought it would be helpful to sort them into sets. And so the Citizens' Assembly process simply means those that have comments about the Citizens' Assembly or its mandate. And there will be about 3% of those. Democratic elections usually means, this is my coding, it means they have something to say about elections, but it's not much to do with a mandate. Okay, so they can be quite interesting, but they're not particularly relevant. If you want to check my categories, please have a look at them. If you get to democratic government, that means that the submission is about things that don't even have much to do with elections. They're about a general dissatisfaction with some aspect of the governmental process, like you should do away with parties in the legislature, that's most of that category has to do with dealing with parties in the legislature or changing the structure of government, introducing a second chamber, that kind of stuff. Now, electoral system change means anybody who wants to make a change. So 560 fit under that category. Electoral system no change is only 20. Please remember that some of those other ones haven't expressed their views on whether they want change or not. So the ones who are dissatisfied with government or want to do something else, they didn't mention what they thought about the electoral system. So that's why they're not categorized. The ones who in the electoral system no change are those who are specifically saying the present system is largely okay. Some of them kind of recant near the end and say, but I might be persuaded differently, but they're submissions which by and large want no change. Minority representation is a kind of group. I thought we might have more of these. They tend to be explicitly people who want to represent some usually ethnic groups, specifically in the assembly, in the legislative assembly. And regional representation, again, likewise, people who have... Sorry, thank you very much. I need someone to poke me. Linked to other resources is simply, as it says, it's simply like those 11 submissions, many of those 11 submissions from that guy, who shall be nameless, were simply, have you noticed the excellent article on? There is a good website on this. So that's the pretty mechanical. And other were ones that were just too difficult to code or often had statements about the meaning of life, how to become a good person. Okay, now using the search facility for mention of various terms in the submission, including, I should say those figures include at the end, that's why the previous one included multiples. You could have multiple answers. They were coded in more than one category. Now that search facility on the web is very good for finding things, but it's not particularly good for making summaries of the kind that I am trying to make in this presentation. It counts things differently depending on which terms you put in, and you can search for some things easily and not others. That's why I need to do a different process in order to provide a helpful summary later in the piece. But with that caveat, with that caution, 318 submissions, if you search for MMP and online, that's I wanted submissions, not attached documents, 318. Now, what I thought is there some way of indicating how extensive those submissions are? And so I thought, why don't I put in MMP and linked? Linked, of course, being short for linked document. By and large, the more substantial the submission, the more likely it is to have a linked document. So about 5% of the MMP submissions had linked documents. PR, proportional representation, that category, by the way, I put in whenever someone said they were keen on proportionality but mentioned no particular system. If it was very clear that they wanted MMP, like two votes or whatever it is, or mentioned New Zealand or Germany, then I would code them MMP. But if they just said proportionality is great, the system should be proportional, everyone should be heard, except, of course, the 5% who I don't think should be represented, then they were PR. And 6.5% of those had attached documents. STV linked. So that, as Ken said, people who are enthusiastic about STV tend to be more likely to provide supporting information than any other category. The alternative vote, AV, again, not many attached documents. Now, some of the categories which I thought I'd give you a rough idea about the way in which the kinds of things that they recommended, they'll all be familiar to you, or they will be when you remember what you were exposed to early in the piece, or they will be to when you get back and have a refresher course in September. Again, there were people who were clearly in favour of the alternative vote and runoff elections, so they liked majority systems. There were quite a few of those. A few of them referred to BC's experience in 52 and 53. The idea was majority was important. Some were keen on having an election, a second election, a couple of weeks later. There was quite a few people who, of course, wanted to keep the present system, first past the post. Some of them wanted, or quite a few actually, wanted limited top-up for parties. Say some said 2 seats, some said 10 seats, some said more than that. You keep the system as it is and just add a few seats to acknowledge the existence of small parties or to maintain an opposition or to stop the representation getting too far out of whack in terms of proportionality. That's what MMM is, mixed member majoritarian. So they liked the first past the post, they liked the characteristics of majority systems, but they wanted a little bit to acknowledge the existence of other parties and some gesture in favour of proportionality. MMP, as you know, lots on those, and lots of variations. I've just given three there. Closed lists, open lists, best losers, that is, that's, if you like, the guarantee for zombie politicians. Best losers mean that you elect the single-member district people directly, as now, and you fill up the party seats with the members who got the highest proportion of votes, but lost. MMM, mixed member majority again, there were quite a few of those, some with province-wide lists, some with regional lists. PR, there were quite a few people who wanted, actually more than I thought. There's a number of people who want province-wide lists. They say our representation of parties is really important. It should be fair. You get the best example if you have a province-wide list. Some regional lists, some quite complicated ones. Single-member districts with assignment, that is, you quite complicated systems where you elect, you vote, as now, you count up the party share of the votes, you allocate it proportionally, and then you assign members. It gets pretty complicated, but you assign members in to various electoral districts almost at random, but in order to generate proportionality while keeping single-member districts. You didn't think it was possible, but a couple of people who tried to do that. One of the people who aims to do this suggested that the problem could be dealt with by having virtual electoral districts. That is, people didn't actually have a geographical electoral district. They would be assigned one of 79 electoral districts that existed in the ether, in cyberspace, and you would be allocated to them by the last two digits on your social insurance number. So that gets around the problems of unequal-sized electoral districts. STV, single transferable vote, all kinds, by region, varying district magnitudes, some, one of them with circuits, that you'd have members who, although they were elected in a two- or three-member district, would be required to chug around a particular geographical area. And, of course, mixed, all kind of mixed, mixed STV and AV, STV and First Past the Post, MMP and AV runoff, and, of course, many more. Now, some of them would not fall within the mandate. And I thought I'd mention, as Ken did, some of those. Quite a few were interested in weighted voting in the Legislative Assembly. That is, a member would have as many votes as the vote in the Assembly would be weighted by the proportion of votes that he or she got in their electoral district. So the idea was that people shouldn't have one vote in the Assembly, they should have votes depending on how successful they've been in getting support. Related to that, there were some people who thought there should be proxy voting. People should be able to trade their support. Some suggestions were that all members who ran, all candidates who ran should be one with the most votes should be elected and the others could be able to trade their votes for particular policies. Direct election of the Premier or Ministers was quite often mentioned. And also indirect election. Some people thought that local councils worked very well and that the Assembly and or the Ministry should be elected indirectly. Now those are nothing, those of course are well outside the submissions of the Assembly's mandate. Now, what about the timeline for dealing with the submissions? Now, basically, the problem is, given the volume of submissions and the need to provide an opportunity to digest them and produce them, and I'm suggesting that there be a date where submissions are cut off in the nicest possible way. And the date I'm suggesting is Friday the 13th. That gives basically August to prepare for the September things. Now, you can talk about that, and Jack will raise it again when you've had a discussion among yourselves and perhaps in your breakout groups, then you can come back and let me know whether you think that's a good idea. Now, I've got really questions and suggestions. The ones I'm particularly interested in getting information on is what aspects of the submissions do you want assistance in presenting? I mean, what can I do, or the Citizens' Assembly do, to make the process easier for you to digest the submissions? And those really are the things I'm interested in. You don't need to have a brainstorm now, but what I hope in the breakout session is that you can tell your facilitators what things you found useful or not, or what things you would like to see in September when you come to look at the submissions in order to assist your deliberations. Okay, well, that's me done. So I'm happy to take any questions, comments. Yes, number three.
Campbell, I don't know if you can do this, but I've seen it would be nice if there was some way that we could rank the benefit of or score the submissions when we're reading them for the benefit of other members of the assembly. So if there's one that I or someone else thinks is really good, we could somehow rank the submission, say, hey, read this one, and then we could somehow list the submissions in the order of their value.
Yes.
Some ways, some systems are around to do that.
The one thing I was keen not to do, certainly not until the deliberative, well, not to do full stop, is to put anything on the public website that indicates some people's submissions are preferred over others. From the point of view of the Citizens Assembly, all submissions are equal, whether they're three lines, three words, or 58 pages. But I agree, it is helpful. My original thought was if people provided me with perhaps their top 10 or top 15, or if there were particular categories of voting systems or structures that they sent me an email saying this and that or whatever, and then I could compile them for distribution. So the thing that worries me a bit is I wouldn't want that on the web. So, but it could be on the members' website, perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking if we could just have a system that when you're reading something, you could hit a button and say, "Hey, this one is worth reading," and then somehow that gets scored and.
You're suggesting it be automated.
I'm sorry.
You're suggesting it be automated.
Sure.
I will ask our famous web persons to do that, or see whether that can be done. Okay. Yes, number two.
Campbell, is it possible to rank them not only by preference of reader, but also by evidence?
What I hope to do, the trouble with the website I found is that I can't extract the information I need to provide a good survey. What I need is a spreadsheet that can be sorted in various ways, by, for example, length, by perhaps some value about the extent of the argument, by how detailed it is in terms of providing application to BC. So I hope to prepare that for the meeting in September.
And I'm also interested in evidence of things that have happened in other places, not just the conjecture of what would happen if Blue Sky.
Okay. You can do that a bit now if you put in New Zealand or Germany or Holland or whatever. But
I would prefer that you did that and I didn't have to read 700 submissions in August. Okay.
Yes, except if you put in Holland, I think you only get two. But okay, I agree. There's a point taken. Yeah. With the submissions. I mean, other than their number. Okay. Yes, sorry. Jill.
You briefly mentioned the creating a spreadsheet with the ability for us to search by length of submission. Is it possible to make that one of the search parameters on the web site as well?
The short answer is no. I thought I could do that by putting things in square brackets. The idea is that the search facility on the web is designed, as I say, to find things. It's not really to summarize. What I need to do is to get at the database that drives the web page. So what I'm going to ask them to do is to export the various categories, and then I can sort them in ways which make sense to me. It will mean reading them again, but that's no great hardship, and coding them in different ways. I wasn't thinking of making the spreadsheet public, because it will be big, but I'm quite happy to later on as maybe subsets of the spreadsheet in September, so people can do them various ways. And I don't see why people who are interested send them electronically, and people can do it themselves. Yes, sorry. Wendy.
I was cut off.
Nine.
Is this on?
Sorry. I've been going through the submissions and I've gotten to about 550 And I've been keeping it on the spreadsheet.
And then people who want it, I can. We can put it on the web, and they can download it.
Dave was talking about you mentioned something about wanting to get a copy. You'd be interested in which submissions other people found interesting.
Okay, Julie.
Your listing of the organization or your contents listing I thought was really interesting, and I just wondered from a point of view of efficient reviewing back and forth of the submissions, going back and looking at things, is there going to be any opportunity to give these different content subjects some sort of a code or a number that these could be associated with each of the submissions, so that if you wanted to sort by, I want to look at all of the submissions that talk about democratic elections or all of them that talk about electoral system change, etc., that you could use that as one of the criteria for sorting?
Yes, the ones I coded are very easy because you just press the button. But that was part of the guide, the idea of the guide later in the year, so that you could look at all those with numbers that dealt with MMP, those that were short MMP, moderate MMP, those that had attached documents, those that were fully applied.
I was talking about the first, you've got two boxes with submissions content. The first one is sort of your MMP online, MMP linked and so on, but the other box.
Okay, those are ones that I was forced to use because I didn't have the information I really needed. But the idea would be, yes, it's part of the guide, would be to indicate the range of things within MMP so that you could look at particular ones.
I don't think I've made myself very clear to you. I'm talking about the one listing where you have CA process, democratic elections, so on and so forth.
Okay, those are my categories, and they're ones that are already sorted, if you like.
Hello. My question is just about after Friday the 13th and just the public's access to us. Is the cutoff in design to the report, and are the public able to still send comments to us? Because I'm just wondering about accessibility to us beyond Friday the 13th.
Well, the idea of the cutoff is we may be able to say if you want your submission to be in the summary. The idea is just to say, look, if you want it to be part of the summary that's given to the members, there's nothing to stop members of the public getting in touch with the Assembly. Members of the Assembly up until the last dying moment, I assume.
So you would still be continuing the process of posting anything that came to us from the public?
Yes. I mean, the details are still to be worked out, but the idea would be to say if you get it in before 15th of August, it will be part of 13th of August. Friday the 13th of August, it will be part of the summary treatment of all the submissions.
Of the report, so to speak.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to say I thought it would be a good idea if people had submissions that they really liked, that they read, maybe we could set a date where we emailed Campbell by, and then he just sent out an email of maybe the top 50 submissions or like a poll like that instead of doing it online. Because I agree with Campbell, I don't think we should show that we have a preference to certain ones on the web. It should be a private poll, perhaps. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's something that maybe you can talk with the facilitators. And it's the only thing at the moment is that my inbox is full of black entries, because a lot of people send submissions to me directly, because sometimes when they put in their submission they don't put their name, or rather they put their name but not an address, and we don't accept submissions unless it's a real person with a postal address. So I send the email with my address, so then I get emails with people, yes, my submission is X and Y. So sending things to my inbox as people who've been sending me emails, it doesn't work, probably won't work for the next 2 or 3 weeks, because I know if I look at them, there'll be submissions. But we'll put
To somebody else, maybe not you. Maybe you have too much entering all the submissions. Maybe somebody else could do a poll of just assembly members' suggestions of submissions they really liked that they read.
Look, I'm sure that can be fixed. It's the, well, the part of the discussion, the breakout groups, is to get suggestions like that, and then we can deal with them.
Perfect.
Thank you. As a person who is not on the web and probably would not be interested if I could be, I have concerns that those that are on the web and are more adept at using the web may in fact have a greater influence on the decision of this assembly than those that are left out in the bush as I am. Just from what you've said, where the electronic information has been processed first and the written information is last to be processed, is an indication of how true this may be.
Yes. Just a caveat or a limitation on that. The first thing is they're all indexed and abstracted online. The question is, we don't want ones which are just in hard copy to be neglected by the members. So they will have to be, when it comes to doing my survey, guide or whatever, they will be included in all formats. And that may involve, if members are interested in looking at members' submissions which are in hard copy, that we simply distribute those submissions to members. So I think it will all come out in the wash. I think it's more public relations that looks bad rather than the substance. I think we will deal with the hard copy ones. I should say the ones that are hardest of all to deal with are ones which have tables or charts, and they're almost impossible to scan in unless you put it in as a picture. And if you put it in as a picture, it gets a big file, then it can jam up people's machine. But in terms of access to the members, the members will get any review of all submissions and access to any submission they want, irrespective of its format.
It may go beyond just the compilation and the way you present the information. Whereas some of us are riding around on our tractors and thinking about all these things, other people are exchanging information daily and talking about this stuff on the web. So maybe I'm not being very clear, but I'm certainly clear that I'm concerned about this approach.
My only response, I think that's true. I think it is a concern. The only interesting, I was thinking about this when I was preparing these notes, and I thought, well, if we hadn't got the web, what would the process be like? And it would be like just having written submissions. So I think on balance, the range and volume of information which is available now is huge, a huge benefit. It's just that it's not spread evenly across the scenery.
I have a process question. Is it hot in here? I would like a little air conditioning in the back row here.
That's a question about the air conditioning?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. It's getting very hot, which is why I finished up.
Too much noise. We'll turn it on as soon as they
leave. The reply is there's too much noise when it's on, so we'll turn it off on as soon as you leave.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yes, the questions. Quick. Rick.
What number?
11.
I was just wondering in response to Wilf, much like you did on the first, I think it was the first or second week, I can't remember, hard copies of the discussion site, you had hard copies of the conversations back and forth. Is that something that could be sent out to the people that don't have access to the web?
As you see from the abstracts, you've got the next 500 abstracts, which was a heap. I don't know how many pages, 30, 40 pages. If we printed out all the information that, or made available all the information that had come in as submissions, it would be two or three phone directories. So it's just a problem of... in many ways, from the members' point of view, the question is, they need a guide. You need a guide, and so that you can pick ones that you want to see. And if you don't have them online, we'll send them to you. And if they're not online, we'll send them to you anyway. Yes.
Yes. I know there are a lot of people concerned about this, and I am not too sure that all this desire to rank, and that somebody has to make a decision whether how valuable those are. There are an awful lot of people who are on the web. They have the web. I don't, but... I have pulled off about 30. I've asked my daughter to pull off, to look at many and pull off the ones that she thought were probably more interesting. And she did that for me, and I've read it. And a lot of them still suggest the same thing. And I'm not too sure as of whether we're concerned about so many things here that maybe not as relevant as some think that it is.
Okay. Do you want to say that?
We'll leave a few minutes early, but I do want to thank Campbell for a very meticulous job in managing the submissions. Campbell is stuck with his machine all day, every day, you know. I want to recognize that Wolf has rejoined us. Wolf, good to have you here. Right. Pardon? And Heidi is here too. Heidi, where are you? Heidi's with us. Thank you. Glad to have both of you here. That's where you should be. Okay, we'll have a break and we'll get the room cooler before you come back. Thank you very much.